Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome back to another episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Tyler Ford, and so with me, as always, is Fred, who failed to hit the podium in Scrabble. How does that make you feel, Fred?
Just awful. I, you know, We all knew I was a piece of shit anyway, though, so.
I was not expecting that, but self-deprecation is always appreciated. Listen, not a whole lot to get to here this week.
That's a pretty quiet week.
We are firmly on the road to All In, and we had some interesting things come up here this week, and we'll talk about it. But it's going to be a little bit of an abbreviated show because, quite frankly, it's not a ton going on as we're approaching All In. But once we get to All In, we're going to have a lot to talk about.
I do have big news.
What's the big news?
Biscuits Gravy won his third Heisman and then transferred to Georgia.
Oh, Georgia. Boo.
Yeah.
Boo.
They got a good running game.
Yeah, but Georgia. Yeah. Georgia, boo.
It's funny because the game was like, this guy's won three Heismans. I don't know that we should offer him NIL deals. You're like, okay. I know the school would play a role, but at some point, like, you gotta, you know, it was a little silly. I was listening to a Split Zone Duo episode earlier. I just want to ask you something as a thought experiment more than anything else. You know how sometimes in college football, you know, you'll have a program like East Carolina or Southern Miss just like build themselves up above their station and be a really consistent winner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then something happens, like Southern Miss decided to fire that coach that made them a winner, and they really never won regularly again for like 20 years now almost. East Carolina just had various other things, so on and so forth. You know, just kind of institutional issues. Now, I'm not saying AEW has reached that stage yet, because that would certainly imply that they were like chilling in 1999 WCW on a regular basis, which they aren't. You know, I think we have our criticism of the show, but we also aren't like screaming that it's on death's door, because it obviously isn't. Is there a comparison for where, like where AEW is right now, going from, you know, like the upstart power team to, you know, one that should be probably a title contender, but is solidly hanging out in like 8-4ville? Or is this just the dumbest show opener we've ever done, and I should just throw it in the trash?
Well, we will obviously find dumber. In terms of college football, Iowa? Iowa's consistently good. Their offense stinks. And they get praised for winning football games. And I think that could translate immediately to AEW, because AEW's PR sucks, which is how you play offense in the world of television. Their pay-per-views are constantly great and some of the best we've ever seen from an American pro wrestling company. And discussion about them is quite split and boring.
And kind of mimetic.
I think AEW is the Iowa Hawkeyes football team.
Now, would bad PR actually just be like horrible special teams rather than a horrible offense?
Have you seen Iowa?
No, I know that would ruin the Iowa comparison. I'm just saying.
No, I think it's because, like, you got to be offensive. And the way AEW handles their PR with kind of how Tony Khan is a little defensive, like, because how he gets defensive with his product is he goes on the attack. And their PR is bad. It's I really think it's a 1-1.
Okay, fair enough.
You could also talk about Auburn. Auburn has won a national championship in the last 15 years. They've been to another one. And after that, they're just kind of an 8-4 or a fringe bowl team. And I think you can kind of look at the peaks of Auburn are really good, and then they valley out. Because in 2004, I think it was, Auburn went undefeated, but didn't make the national championship game because there were two other undefeateds, and they finished third in the BCS. I think you can have some of those same conversations.
Yeah, fair, fair.
All right, let's talk about Q106. No, I'm sorry. Q101, Dave Meltzer. Our own Case Lowe.
He blew the number? Oh, man, I just went with Dave. How dare I?
Yes. Oh, by the way, I'm getting an Amazon package. I bought my wife a deep freezer for our anniversary. She wanted a deep freezer specifically for Dippin' Dots.
If that ain't Minnesota love, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm. So he goes on with Case Lowe, host of Open the Voice Gate here on this podcast network, and he is also a producer for a radio station in the Chicago market. And Case Lowe got a nearly 25-minute interview out of Tony Khan.
Yeah.
And, of course, kudos to Case. He deserves a nice little Montreal Expos hat tip that he talked about the Strong Hearts. I loved that. That was tremendous. Yes, but
that was good bit.
Look, we're nerds. The biggest thing out of that was that they were on the verge of a big TV deal. And I think that's really important. I also think it's interesting here that True TV is going to do an Adult Swim type block for TNT Sports.
Mm-hmm.
That is very interesting. And I wonder, like, people are starting to link, is this where ROH is going? I think Joe Lanza was the first to mention, I think he did so on the flagship last week, that, hey, maybe you put it on True TV and elevate that platform, and then having it AEW Ring of Honor could bring some extra eyeballs and bring more viewers to that network, and then you pepper all the advertisements with your product. Hey, Impractical Jokers and whatever other shows that you want to promote on there. I think they have one with the Broken Lizards guys who did Super Troopers. They have a fireman show.
Yeah, fire department one, yeah.
Yeah, good old Farva. And I think that could really work. And if they end up getting that big TV deal, I still think it'll be $200 million for everything. Like, WWE got SmackDown for $200 million, and they got the WWE Network for $200 million. But AEW is not at that level from a historical or financial capacity. So I think $200 million for all four properties and the pay-per-view rights plus the streaming platform, I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think so. Probably be what? Do you think a 5-year deal?
I'd assume 5-year deal. Very few things get less than a 5-year deal when it comes to television, because television stations want to be able to lock that property in and have a comfortable factor over the course of time with that product. NFL deals usually are 6 to 11 years. WWE has consistently signed about 5-year deals for their television properties. I think even though it's not a one-to-one comparison point, it's a good comparison point, Fred, because if WWE is signing that length of deal, why would another television entity want to do a bigger deal? Yeah. They're probably going to look at that. Okay, this is what the market is saying. 5 years. And there you go.
Sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yes. Very interesting interview. We will have that linked in the show notes for you. And it's a very interesting interview because Case is a very good at interviewing, because he interviews musicians all the time, so he was ready to rock and roll. And with his wrestling background, it came off really well, informative.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't get a ton of the fluffy bullshit you usually get with Tony Khan, which kudos to Case for the excellent job. Let's move on to some roster news. Lucha Brothers are leaving for WWE. That was reported by Wrestle Purists earlier this week. And look, it shouldn't be a shock. The Lucha Brothers have been with AEW since the inception 5 years ago. And quite frankly, they've gotten stale. And I'm still upset that we never got them as singles. They were just kind of always that middling tag team who can be, who can hold the belts, who can be challengers. And they did a great job helping elevate those trios titles with that seven match series against the Elite. But it's good and healthy for the wrestling business to have that, to have a conversation and to be able to maneuver. So I think it's healthy. I think it's they copyrighted names. I can't remember what the last name is, but Penta was going to be King, and Phoenix was going to be Ray. Let me see if I can find it, because there's, I thought it was.
I think one of them was supposed to be like Animale for Penta. And then there was like Sierra Miedo for Penta and Cuerno for Phoenix, which is interesting considering there's currently a Cuerno in CMLL.
Yeah. Very, very, very interesting, the names that they were given. But I also kind of like it. It's different, but it's also very similar.
Big, big breaking news. I apologize. I just saw this. The most important story, story that we'll talk about all day is AEW files for Meat Mayhem trademark.
You said Meat Mayhem?
Meat Mayhem. They were going to have Meat Mayhem last year, remember, at Revolution, but then it got canceled. I think it was Revolution. And then they had earlier this year, actually. And then they did a All-Star Scramble instead. But they were going to have, I guess, like Hobbs and Miro and, you know, various other beefy guys. So that is a thing that they did.
Look, I love beefy boys slapping meat. I dig it. I dig it a lot. And if you can make that match good, I'd appreciate it. Please and thank you. We'll find out if that turns into anything. I mean, they'll file trademarks for all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean that those things are going to come to fruition, but we shall find out. Ricky Starks might be next, though.
He might be.
And we've been hearing rumors about this for weeks and weeks and weeks. Will it happen? Yeah, who knows? But it feels like it's going to. He's a huge Cody guy. He was up in a press box cheering Cody on at WrestleMania. Yeah, he was with Dustin. I don't think Tony Khan's going to say, tell either of them you can't go to the show, but obviously they weren't shown on camera, of course. You don't want to be one of the Highlanders who was caught at a TNA show and canned.
What a shit show that was all around, by the way.
That was hilarious. The Highlanders weren't a bad tag team in WWE either.
Yeah,
the
gimmick was kinda. They got screwed, though, by both TNA and WWE.
They really did. But it wouldn't shock me if Starks goes over there. His push kind of got stalled. And I feel bad for him a little bit. Weird injuries have kept popping up. Plus, I think these guys have too much creative power in AEW.
The idea that after his tag with Big Bill, that Bill would turn on him, and that was supposed to set up Starks as a big baby face, is the reporting that's been fairly consistent, and the reporting continues that Starks said no, that he didn't think it really made sense because he and Bill were very much a slap together tag team. Like, that was the kayfabe. That was the story, was that they just started, like, they did that promo where they're like, I don't know when your birthday is. I don't care, you know? And ever since then, we've had Bill as the muscle for Jericho, basically, as the learning tree gimmick. And Starks has been basically at home, really, more or less. He suffered the not concussion, whatever that injury was, in his last match. Mm-hmm. I do believe he went on Twitter or social media and was like, that wasn't a concussion, I'm fine. and we haven't seen him since. So, yeah, that was the collision loss in March to Top Flight. So, I don't know. It's I do think that it's a drop ball by AEW, because I honestly believe that at least at two different points he could have been a top of the card guy. Like, he just had the momentum going and everything was pretty much clicking for him. But I also think that, you know, I don't know how much, but some amount of the blame does have to go to Starks, because, you know, if it's true that he made the decision to shoot that storyline down and not participate in it, and then, you know, one assumes, this is 100% an assumption at this point, but one assumes just not really pitch anything else, then, you know, the tea leaves that we're left with, I can only read it like he wants to go to WWE, which, you know, fair if you feel like you'll do better there. And I do think it's beneficial to jump back and forth. It is good in general. I actually want to get back to the Lucha Bros note here in a second on that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a damn shame, because I do think he could have been a high level guy in AEW, and like, he could have been an AEW development success, you know, because he came in not day one, but very early on as a challenger to Cody, as part of the whole TNT Open Challenger thing, that also brought in Eddie Kingston. And it just didn't work out that way, unfortunately. And I loved Ricky Starks as a performer in AEW. And my fear always when they go to WWE is, you know, I just don't like the WWE style, you know, as a baseline, from top to bottom. And then I always worry that, like, you know, we'll get the Lucha Bros in WWE, and then they'll just become like members 4 and 5 of the Latino World Order, you know, and just doing jobs in 4 minutes on Raw every 3 weeks. So I don't know. We'll see. I'd have to think that Ricky would get treated well. One, because it would make sense to WWE to do that, because as a, look what we've done with him and we can do similar for you to other AEW talent. But also I'd have to think that as long as he and Cody are tight, that Cody would have some pull to be able to be like, all right, treat him well, you know. So, but it's disappointing to me.
Majorly, majorly disappointing. Let's get to other news. Steve Mongo McMichael finally elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, was not able to make the trip because of his ALS being where it's at. But they did make a visit to where he, I think it's, I don't know if it's his home or a care facility, but a bunch of the 85 Bears made it. I think all the Bears 85 Hall of Famers were there, and he got the gold jacket, and it was a really, really touching scene there. Nice. And then, fortunately, we got some news early this morning, Fred, that the Taskmaster himself, Kevin Sullivan, passed away. I believe it was the age of 74. It was reported he had been dealing with a myriad of health issues, and just unfortunate. He was very influential in WCW in the late Jim Crockett Promotions and early Turner years.
Yeah, I have memories of him back then, and him being a very unique performer in a period of, like, guys much taller than him, and it was interesting that he, as a pretty short guy, was presented as a pretty serious threat. This was more so in the Benoit feud period than the Dungeon of Doom, which was just a very, you know, very much 1993 or 4 WCW, I can't remember which year, trying to recreate, like, you know, trying to steal the peak Hulkamania, you know, booking style. But yeah, rest in peace. I thought both those notes would be somewhat relevant to the two of us, given our histories and backgrounds. Of course, Kevin Sullivan, that passed away, the wrestler, is notably different from former head of AEW production, Kevin Sullivan, two completely different people that feels like every time a story came up about the AEW linked one, we had to have that conversation. Everyone did. Like verbalize a big old asterisk and be like, not that Kevin Sullivan. But yeah. Sad news from that aspect, but good news for Mongo. I'm glad he was able to see it and get put in. So
yeah, a little late, and it would have been nice to see him get in earlier, but when you have that many great players on a defense as historic as that, a lot of times one guy can get left out. Jim Marshall for the Minnesota Vikings and the Purple People Eaters is one of those. He was arguably, he was NFL's Iron Man before Brett Favre was, starting, I think, 279 consecutive games at defensive end in the 60s and 70s, and had an estimated by Pro Football Reference almost 140 sacks, which would rank him, I believe, like 12th or 13th all time. And he's the only one not in the Hall of Fame that is eligible to be in the Hall of Fame within, I think, the top 20. Now, for those who don't know, sacks weren't an official stat until the 80s. So Pro Football Reference has an estimator based on, I believe it's explicitly based on the play-by-play results from each game, which, yeah, that's fine. But yeah, good for Mongo. This is an interesting one, Fred, and it's going to have a ripple effect potentially on All Elite Wrestling. Warner Brothers Discovery was wrong about the value of their cable stations by the tune of $9 billion. So they are at a $10 billion loss for the previous quarter.
Yeah. Now I don't, I think it's more a David Zaslav came in, overvalued, the value of cable TV, made a bunch of purchases related to this, especially around acquiring Turner Media. And then, then now they're like, oh, man, we messed up. I don't know that Zaslav's doing a great job. It feels like Zaslav made some very big mistakes early on, and it's now kind of trying to cling, trying to course correct, I guess would be the best way to put it, and cling to his job. It's just a very interesting situation. But I don't think it'll negatively really hurt AEW. I think it's just going to turn out that, they'll still be like, well, we got to put some money into it, and we need ratings, and we've got AEW here that does ratings, so we'll pay them. So
I'm intrigued to see what ends up happening, but that these companies always seem to find the money. Plus, it's, they don't have to like put money in escrow or anything. It's, you can structure things to help out.
Yeah.
Brian Keith, so he did actually have an injury when they had him in a sling, but it was to the orbital bone. That was reported by the Wrestling Observer newsletter. And interesting that they had him in an arm sling to protect his face, but
he really didn't wrestle during that period. So I do think it's very sad that we don't get to add him to the montage of AEW wrestlers with eye patches.
That is a very good point.
I feel like we've been ripped off here, but we'll never financially recover from this. Yeah, I just thought that was interesting, and also just kind of interesting that they, that they were like, all right, your eyes hurt. We can't use you but in the ring, but we'll have you do segments, and here's an arm sling.
I love that.
Like, I don't even know what they needed to explain it. They could have just had him without the arm sling, I guess, but... and just be like, I'm a tough guy. Anyways.
Rawr. Tough guy, rawr.
Rawr.
Good news on the injury front, Fred. Bandido should be cleared soon per Dave Meltzer.
Good.
Good. I feel so bad for him with that wrist, because he had to have a second surgery on it, and he's been out, it feels like, for about a year.
Rough go for him.
Very rough go.
But yeah, I'm curious to see how they slot him in. Because it feels like that there, if he had come in on day one, obviously there is Ring of Honor and all that stuff, keeping him from doing it. You know, obviously the contract is the main part of that stuff. I am good at talking. but like, I feel like if he had been a day one guy, he would have been pushed big right out the gate. And, instead, it took him a few years to come in. And then when he finally did, he got hurt pretty majorly, unfortunately, due to the failed surgery. And I don't know. It's a big what if. It's, you know, just one of those things, one of those sliding door things, I guess, in wrestling history. So,
if people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That's a good point. That's actually a very good point, sir. Just get him back in the ring, please. That's all I want. You know who we've maybe seen a little too much of in the ring with this fake-ass American title? MJF, who made an appearance in Arena Mexico during the Friday night show of CML last week on 8-2. We did not talk about it last week, even though we recorded late. But I think it's safe to talk about it now. I watched the match. That was pretty good. MJF got a little bit racist with his promo, talking about how all the fans are just going to try to cross the border. I'm paraphrasing that, but that was the general tone of what he was saying.
Roddy Piper cosplay.
Yeah, pretty much. And the good news from this is Templario should be getting his visa soon, and that would rule. Give me some Templario. You know what? No, I want Soberano Jr. Give me Soberano Jr.
Oh, Soberano's so good. I've watched, sadly, very little CMLL this year. I've watched very little, much of anything, frankly. I've got a big list to catch up on, and it just keeps getting added to. But hey, I got the Olympics. I got biscuits gravy to take care of. But yeah, I mean, Templario is a top-level performer in CMLL, and it'd be great to have him around some. People seem to think the match was pretty good. I saw Meltzer gave it like four and a quarter. And, you know, a lot of people were like, well, that's crazy, which is modern Dave Meltzer star rating discussion in 2024. Mm-hmm. But I haven't watched it yet. I can't really say anything on it. But, you know, I mean, apparently, you know, I mean, look at the Sam Adonis character, right? You know, that's been doing this for years, is basically a Trumper. You know, the kind of anti-immigration stance, at least, but with some of the Make America Great Again wrappings. And it seems like also the reception in Mexico to that kind of promo is like, oh, what a ridiculous kind of part of the show, you know, like just rolling with it, I guess. Is kind of the general impression I've got from reading people like Cubs and
they're treating this the same way they treat Jeff Jarrett for throwing tortillas,
right? Yeah,
whether right or wrong, it's just, that's just kind of the tone from what I get from it. Yeah
would be for the best if we didn't do it, frankly, but there is a reason, I guess. You could not like the reason, that's good. But anyways, last thing, I noticed this while watching Dynamite, AEW talent, especially Will Ospreay, are being used to promote a new show on the Turner Networks called TNT Overdrive, which basically looks like Cops meets America's Funniest Home Videos, and which is just clips of people doing dumb shit. So Chive TV style stuff on Turner. If you've ever been in a restaurant with way too many TVs.
I used to work at a B-dubs. I know what that means. So, you know what this seems to me? Darby Allin wants a reality show.
There is a minor surprise that they didn't, I'm kind of surprised actually that they didn't shift from the Roads to the Top when they are supposedly working on a second reality show that became that one-off thing a year or two ago, that they weren't like, all right, let's do Viva La Bam with Darby. You know, I think that could have...
Listen. Yes, please. You know what? You know what's really annoying? And I can't find Viva La Bams to stream anywhere. I used to love that show.
I think it's because Bam and also like several Bam adjacent people are now super canceled. So
wait, Bam is canceled?
I think Bam is mildly canceled for just being like an alcoholic asshole.
Oh, so he's just, you're just an idiot canceled, not you're like a racist or transphobic or something canceled.
Okay. Now, not his dad, but the other fat guy.
Don Vito's dead.
Oh, Don Vito died. Okay. Well, the other one,
yeah, he was canceled.
He's super like jail canceled, like bad person canceled. So
yeah, look, all those things aside, and those are all fair points.
Yeah,
the show was funny.
It was a wild ass show. They had apparently 5 seasons within less than 2 years. Jeez. Oh, MTV and the aughts. You just ran through your stuff. It's like, oh boy. Anyway,
well, it was, they capitalized on it. I don't know, I'm gonna have to find some way to watch it because I love that show. Ryan Dunn, God bless him, he passed away unfortunately too.
Yeah,
but oh, just a tremendously funny show where they would do just the worst shit ever to his mom, April.
Yes.
And then they took her backstage to Billy Idol, and she was like, this is the greatest day of my life. And anyways, that's your Viva La Bam minute.
Fred? We can't talk about Wrestling Society X, because that's been taken by... you've got to be kidding me. They did. They covered their shows on their Patreon, so we're just left with Viva La Bam and... pulls up Wikipedia list of MTV original programming. Join us next week when we cover 3 South.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, we'll just do a Viva La Bam watch along and talk about how they just mess with Don Vito and his mom. Like,
yeah,
All right. Let's talk about this show. Interesting show that...
A little placeholder-ish.
Yeah, but it also continued the build.
It did. It did.
And I love this Mariah May Toni Storm thing, man.
It's working just really well.
They're just doing it so well. And what I really want is Mariah May to play Toni Storm's music and then play her own and just be like, ha ha ha. And then Toni Storm plays her old music and comes out and just dresses like a badass and wants to go kill her. That's what I want.
Of note is that Toni Storm just kind of dressed like a person this week and wasn't, full blown darling, that chick. So does that mean anything? I guess we'll see.
They've done a tremendous job with this feud.
Yeah, it's the best one they got going right now, I think. Danielson Swerve is going to be a great match, but I just don't think the storyline is clicking quite the same at all.
Yeah, I can't wait for that match. And another match I can't wait for is Bryan Danielson versus Swerve. That match.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
I need to see it from start to finish because I saw clips. The match with Jeff Jarrett, that was fun.
I liked that match quite a bit. I thought that it, I don't think it really, it had some good peaks, but I also, I didn't, this was a show without anything that hit 4 stars for me on any real level. I thought this was like one of a couple matches that went like 3 3/4, along with the MJF one. And, I like this match. I don't want to make it sound like I thought it sucked. I just didn't think it, I don't think it hit that high level for me. So.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that a lot. And I think that the build to this match has been odd.
Yes.
But also kind of nice.
That's kind of where I am. Like, it's a slightly weird build, but at the same time, I don't know. I think it's not like a disaster by a stretch. I just think it's kind of okay. Like, this is not particularly creative, I guess. Which frankly isn't inherently a bad thing. Some of the more attempts at creative or creativity, is a little, So, Will Ospreay being afraid to hit a move in wrestling as a wrestler. I think this is going along decently enough, but again, it's I don't think it's like one of their best storylines ever at the same time.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good way to phrase it, because at the end of the day, it's boring, but boring isn't always bad.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say it's inherently boring. I think, like, obviously we're getting pretty good matches out of it and all that. Sorry, I just think it's
generic.
There we go. That's much better. Yeah.
Generic's a better word for that, because sometimes the best stories are the simple ones.
Yeah.
You don't need to convolute things. You don't need to involve a friendship bracelet. You just need, I want to prove I'm the fucking best, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to beat your ass, but I need to get myself right to get there. It's kind of like Rocky III, after he gets his ass whooped by, I can't remember Mr. T's character at the moment. He gets his ass whooped, and then he goes to Apollo, and Apollo teaches him how to, be a boxer and use his feet. And then he goes back and he wins, but he had to find himself, and the journey to find himself was so important. And I think that's kind of what we're looking for here with Bryan Danielson.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about the MJF match, sir.
Okay. Another 3.75 for me.
Yeah. I agree. The screwdriver stuff needs to be done, man.
Oh my God.
Like, I get it.
Yeah, it's a little too NXT-ish again. I feel like we use that too often, but like,
I'm not even
staring at it, you know, like, oh.
It's not NXT-ish. They're using the same thing over and over and over and over and over
again.
Now,
I could see this particular instance being a point, you know, because I think Fletcher's going to turn on Ospreay. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting. So I could see them like drawing the parallel here, but then Fletcher loses the match and that can play a role in him turning eventually. I just think it's a little too, you remember the John Lovitz SNL sketch, The Master Thespian?
No. Well, maybe I do.
He played like a so-called great actor and he'd, you know, just he'd do some basic acting and then he'd be like, acting, you know, like, I feel like that's kind of what we got going here. This kind of stuff is just like, all right, Kyle, go out there and do some acting. that's the vibes I get off it. So I kind of roll my eyes at it every time or whenever Will is like, oh, I'm going to do the Stormbreaker, but it's too violent. And yeah, it's, you know, I feel like we made this complaint a zillion times, so I'm not going to linger on it. I thought this match was pretty good. I don't know. I get the idea of MJF doing the American champion thing. We talked about this some last week. So again, I'm not going to linger on it, but I just don't know that it's really working. I mean, I guess we'll see when we get to, you know, I don't even know if it matters that much if when we get to, get to All In, because I don't know that it's working right now. That's I think the important part. I don't think it's really adding any additional heat, you know. I don't think that him doing this, you know, pro America stuff to set up their future match is really any more effective than just him doing a normal scumbag heel character. But I don't know, maybe I'm wrong there.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I want to talk about this because of sketches. Did you see that the internet bullied Kenan Thompson to bring back an old SNL character, Pierre Escargot, for the Olympics?
Was that SNL or was that Kenan and Kel? I thought that was actually Kenan and Kel.
I don't think it was Kenan and Kel because he looked like, you know, not a kid.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, Kenan's been with SNL for like 20 years.
He has. He's been there forever. No, it was all that.
It wasn't all that character?
It wasn't all that character. I have confirmed this with Nickelodeon.fandom.com.
God, fan sites rock sometimes, man. But no. Bullying
they're really useful.
Bullying works. Last topic here, Fred, that isn't even on our run sheet, but I want to talk about it.
Sure, yeah.
There was a backstage brawl after the show that AEW tweeted about on their socials.
I said video to come.
I want to talk about the overarching theme with it. I think AEW is really, their content strategy kind of blows because Twitter and YouTube does not generate television viewers.
Yeah.
It's good to have them as a part of your strategy. WWE is great about that. The NFL is pretty solid about that, posting highlights and you know, old games and that kind of stuff. But posting a game does not translate into getting people to watch your television product. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
Why is AEW so focused on this? Is it because Tony Khan is just a poisoned online brain like the rest of us, and he's letting that? No.
I'm laughing because you have a point.
Yeah. I feel like he's just got this poisoned online brain where he thinks if he posts on Twitter that it's going to generate television viewers. Maybe five. It's not going to generate thousands of them. You have to have a social media presence. That's just a part of it. It keeps you in a conversation, but it does not get you more viewers. It does not make you that much more money. Now the YouTube channel, yeah, that probably makes enough to pay, I don't know, the Outrunner's salary a year. Like my YouTube channel is 4,111 subscribers. We have monetized almost $3,000. You can extrapolate that. I have a buddy just surpassed 100,000. He's projected to make around $60,000-ish a year. Like, yeah, AEW, I think, is over 4.5 million. So, yeah, you can make some substantial money, but the real money's not in YouTube. It's in television dollars. You got to find ways to...
Okay, ahead. I'm sorry.
You got to find ways to generate television viewers.
Yeah.
And I think they're putting too many resources into these backstage videos or getting people to go and watch a 9-minute promo. Just put on your wrestling product, man.
Yeah, the craziest part is that they don't take the best from that and put it on TV.
It's just frustrating, man.
Like, that's wild to me that, like, you know, you get these great, whether it be Kingston or Page or Moxley or whatever, you get these great promos and they almost never use any clips from it to put them online. And it's just like, what are we? Like it's I don't mind that they have it on social media. I don't think it's like a big expenditure of time or anything. I don't think they're really losing anything. But when you have these fantastic, when you do get these really high level ones, and frankly, sometimes they're better than the promos they put on TV, and you don't use a single second of it on TV, like, holy cow, you know, that just seems like such a cell phone. You know, and we're not talking about like back when they did Being the Elite and they had all the comedy skits and, you know, you couldn't really like what could you really build? I mean, as great as it was, what could you really build with on TV with Brody Lee screaming at John Silver to sell, you know, sell for Sue? As great of a moment as that was, like, you know, that's not going to set up any angles. RJ's show. Hey, EW, as great as it is, and I think it's great practically every week.
Hey, hold on. That is friend of the show, RJ City.
It is. But my point is that, like, I get why they don't put that on TV, because, like, you know, him goofing around with whoever isn't really going to set up a storyline, right?
Now, I think it's fair to clarify the point. I don't think they shouldn't ever do any of this stuff. I think there's too much of a focus on it. Now...
See, I would argue that actually the problem is there isn't enough of a focus on using it. So,
no, it's because they're expecting this YouTube traffic to become a part of television storylines, and that's not helping really increase your viewership at all. I think there's...
Are they expecting that, though? Because like
I do, because of how their content strategy has been.
At this point in time, you'd think they'd know that it doesn't, you know, that whatever effect it does have is not that great, you know, not that meaningful. It's their equivalent of the, you know, old WWE network era. Like, we have affinity with 80 gazillion people. Yeah. And you're like, well, why is your ratings 2 million? I don't think it's a problem to put the stuff together. It doesn't seem like it takes that much effort to, like, you know, grab Pingman like right after his match when he's covered in blood and have him cut a promo. It just drives me bonkers that when it's a really good promo, they're like, all right, that's in the can. It's going on Twitter and we'll never mention it again.
I think they could do a better job of using that stuff for their television product to actually continue to drive ratings. Like, that Bryan Danielson promo from the other week, stuff like the Hangman Page promo, tremendous stuff. Just use more of that, man.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want them to put their best stuff on television. You know what? If it gets a huge response on YouTube, guess what? Put on your TV product then. Because the crossover between the YouTube audience and the television audience are significantly different. Mm-hmm. It just is.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do feel like we've kind of beat that horse to some extent. But I think that's more or less AEW talk for the week. Any Olympic stuff you want to talk about other than Pierre Escargot?
How about Noah Lyles winning the gold in the 100 and... bronze in the 200 with COVID.
He won the COVID 200, apparently. I don't know their other entrance, but like, my God, to, and like, it felt like after he basically collapsed, like he sat down, but like, you know, he obviously was not having a good time after he ran that. It was amazing to me, like, the amount of time it took for anyone to go over and be like, hey buddy, you good? You need some oxygen? Let us do some basic health care here. But thank goodness that he's all right. But it's just insane to be able to compete at that level with COVID. My God. Let's see. We watched the kayak cross, which was just chaos in the best way. Finally got to watch that. I don't know. I felt like it's kind of a quieter week this week for some reason. And of course, it all ends on what, tomorrow? So
it's because I think track and field, to me, it peaks as more exciting potentially. But I prefer the first week when it's all swimming. I love the swimming stuff. I really
like the non-swimming, non-track and field stuff the best, more or less. Like, I think some of the cool stuff, coolest stuff happens there, but, you know.
Oh, how about the American? Was it Hawker who came from, like, out of nowhere to win the gold in the 1500?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. I actually haven't watched that clip yet, but, yeah.
So they did a promo beforehand. Ingebretsen, the Norwegian, is the reigning Olympic champion going into the event, and he's just talking so much shit. He's like, I'm the best, and he is being a cocky, arrogant prick. It's tremendous. Yeah. And he lost in the world championships to Josh Kerr from Great Britain, and Kerr's just like, yeah, he can talk all the shit he wants. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to run my race, and I'm going to win. And the Americans had, there was a chance that they could medal. Him and Yusuf Nugurs, I may have butchered the name, but they had a chance at a medal, but they need to run the race for their life. And Hawker beats his personal best by 3 seconds and overtakes everybody to get the gold. And just tremendous, 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 tremendous race.
Yeah, let's see. We got ourselves a, you see the Cuban heavyweight wrestler who won his 5th gold medal?
He was dominating, man.
Holy cow. He's like 41 or whatever, and he's winning the gold medal in wrestling. That's insane. We had the one woman wrestler for the U.S. do a pretty damn fantastic job. Let's see. I need to watch some of this kite sailing. That looks nuts. Canoe sprint. Oh my God, this guy's just standing in his canoe going at it. Crazy. My wife is super excited for breaking. We're probably going to watch the qualifying for breaking. And I say it like that not because it's not a knock on the sport. It's because it's a wacky sport. I'm telling you, the Olympics is at its best when you get the wacky stuff. Or the, you know, just the off, you know, I guess offbeat sports, you know, just like the unusual ones. I'm far more into, like, you know, like the hammer throw than most sprinting, I guess. Maybe I'm just a weirdo, but.
Yeah.
You hear about the, what was she? One member of the, I want to say Paraguayan swimming team, after they finished their events, but while her teammates were still racing, was like, well, I'm done. Left, went to Disneyland, France, and got kicked off the team and sent home as a result.
Incredible.
Yes.
Incredible.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, did you also hear that swimmers who swam in the triathlon in the Rhine were getting E. coli?
Yeah. Did you hear about, I think he was American, the guy before the competition was like, yeah, I tried not washing my hands after I used the bathroom to microdose myself. that's not how this works. My wife, who is an infectious disease physician, heard that and her eyeballs about rolled out her head.
So, microdose. That's incredible.
That's the quote of the Olympics. But yeah, like Belgium, I think it was like, we're not going to kill our athletes. No, thanks. And everyone else was like, well, best of luck to you and your gut. We're all rooting for you.
I love it.
Oh, boy.
Microdosing. Oh, my God.
I know, right? Anyways, I think that's more or less the Olympic beat, which ends sadly. It's been nice having like daytime goofball stuff on TV. You know, it's just when I'm working at home and have it on as background noise, just being able to look up and be like, oh, they're doing sailing.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Well, that's the show. We'll probably have an Olympic roundup at some point next week. And a lot of really cool stuff coming in AEW, including the second annual All In at Wembley Stadium. Hopefully they can pack over 50,000 people there. And look, if they get 50,000 in that building a year after getting the ticket distribution of 81,000, I think the turnstile count was almost 73. It's a big win for AEW.
Still weird that turnstile count became like a news item and people are like, oh, they're lying about their attendance. What a time we live in, Tyler. Very stupid time.
Yeah, absolutely. We are living in a stupid time, and thank you for listening to our stupid show. Give us a 5-star review on all your podcast platforms. We greatly appreciate you listening. We will be back next week. Take care. God bless.
See y'all.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.